Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Came from the bottom, ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slain. Now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars. But you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up.
Case scenario, might work, still a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the rodent's still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, races go. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb instead of how you back, have you beat and lost your mind? Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got pawn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drugs, telling you. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug
America,
heritage.
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
You know the black freedom movement, constitution, moral conscience. You know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation. Even as that nation been trying to render us soulless, to wear our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the bus, same banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before. We shall never forget them and always move forward with grace and dignity.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America,
ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so very much for tuning in tonight. We have a very, very interesting show for you tonight. My name is James Cannon, and I will be co-hosting tonight with this very powerful, thought-provoking, exciting, energetic conversation that we're going to have tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, because it's such an important conversation, we're going to bring you experts from all around the country and all around the world. We've talked about so many different subjects on Dr. Mary Lee in the last few months. A lot of them had to do with the COVID virus, and we brought you doctors, and we brought you experts that could answer questions, because, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a very, very interesting time right now. It is so interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that you really almost can't afford to go to sleep. You can't afford to go to sleep, ladies and gentlemen, at the wheel. If you're driving in a car and you got people in the car with you that you love, that's valuable, and they're trusting you as the mama or the papa or just the driver of the automobile, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot afford to go to sleep at the wheel. And because there's so many things that's taking place in this country, in this nation right now, it's important that on this subject tonight, I would say take notes. Get your pen and pencil out. I'm going to share some great information with you that could actually be life-changing information for your finances. We're going to talk about finances and blockchain and cryptocurrency, and we're going to answer some questions for you. So get your thinking cap on, and if you want to get in the conversation tonight, you got to hit one on your phone. But if you're not speaking but you're in the deck, I'm going to ask you to put your phone on mute so we can have a very clear conversation tonight. Again, my name is James Cannon, and I'm the co-captain of this ship tonight. My responsibility is to make sure that everybody's heard and respected. And we're going to bring some guests, and we want you to be able to ask questions, so we want you to hit one on your phone early. I've got some questions myself that I'm bringing to our experts, ladies and gentlemen, as always. But we definitely want you to engage in this conversation tonight, because the blockchain is something that's just as powerful as the Internet was many years ago when it first came in. Very few people knew anything about the Internet. But those that invested in the Internet at the time, you know, they made out pretty well. And so it's valuable for us to bring people that can answer some questions, because time is of an essence, ladies and gentlemen. You know, many people have invested in stocks and bonds and became rich. But we're not going to talk about stocks and bonds tonight. We're going to talk about a whole new industry. It's getting ready to change the world. And so, Dr. Mary Lee, I appreciate you tonight for allowing me to be a co-captain with you on this ship tonight as we talk about this subject, because this really is entrepreneurship, and this is what we wanted to talk about. So because I appreciate you so much and I appreciate your guest, Dr. Lee, I yield the rest of my time over, and I'm going to sit back myself, and I've got some questions all throughout this conversation, so I appreciate being able to ride close with you tonight as you and I, you know, host this show tonight. I appreciate you, Dr. Lee, as I bring you to the table.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cannon. And, you know, I love you so much and appreciate you as well, along with our other co-hosts who are not here tonight. Dr. Tatum is still recovering, and our youth researcher, Michael Tynes, we know that he's a student as well as an entrepreneur himself. He's always here, but he's committed tonight with this university project. And so he may be on with us later on. And if he does, he certainly will be able to jump into the conversation. Yeah, we're excited about tonight. As Dr. Cannon says, if you have a question, you want to type cap one on your phone, and we will open up your line. This is, I always say, that we're just sitting in the living room having a conversation. Doesn't mean we're going to always agree, But we agree to disagree. But we, if it sounds like we're argumentative at some time, at certain times, we are not. So want you to understand that as well. You have questions and you do not want to be turned live, you can text questions to 571-998-1964. 571-998-1964 for any questions or comments that you may have. And again, welcome. Without you, we don't have a show. So we welcome you, and we certainly appreciate all of our listeners and guests, family, and friends who've been so diligent and faithful since we got started. Well, over a year and a half or so ago now. Okay, we are ready for tonight. I am, because I'm ready to learn all I can learn and share it with you. And we want our guests to feel welcome and to feel free. We only have one tonight, Dr. Cannon, which is going to take up the entire time. We may even have to go over. If we need to, we certainly will, because I feel that he's got such a wealth of information to share. Dr. Raymond Youngblood, Jr. We're talking about mining, hybrid currency, crypto, Bitcoin, blockchain. I don't know what it all means, but a little bit here, a little bit there. I've been hearing things about it, but I expect tonight to learn a lot. We're about helping entrepreneurs to realize your dream, to go into business for yourself if you haven't, if you're in business and want to expand, we're here for you. My passion is building entrepreneurs throughout the world. Now, I've spent like 40 plus years in corporate America and in helping others to build economically. Within even our communities, with funds and monies that earmarked for our communities and for us to be entrepreneurs. I've seen it so many times taken away from our communities and used to gentrify versus build up our black neighborhoods. And we've always been left out, one, because one, if you don't know it's there, you don't know how to ask for it. And if, for example, right now, after the George Floyd killing, there have been over 200 billionaires who have pledged billions of dollars into the black community for entrepreneurs. Now, if we don't go after this money collectively, thousands of us as a unit, what they'll do is they'll reallocate the money. It'll still be for the same purpose that is to build our communities, but it'll go to other people of other races as it has historically. And this is what really, truly, I'm pretty much fed up with, and I'm just not willing to sit back and continue to watch this. And so, you might say I'm on a crusade to build entrepreneurs worldwide, particularly black. I'm all about our black people right now, all about our black businesses in our neighborhoods. There's funds that come out from the federal government, from your state government, from your local government. There's funds that come out from corporate America for low income and for a disadvantage, basically for black people, that just never ever reaches our hands. And many of you, I'm sure, have heard people say or cities say, well, oh, Detroit or Los Angeles or somewhere, they got all this money, but they reallocated it. Okay. Well, the reallocation really goes to back to them, and then they use it to build up the downtown, and you know, without even offering or letting our communities know that we could even contract or become subcontractors. But you know, I don't even believe in that. I mean, we can do that, but we don't have to be subcontractors, because we already have the skills. We're the ones who are doing the work for them, and always has. And so my passion is to get that money redirected into our hands within our neighborhoods, so that we can have our own beauty supply stores, so that if we decide we want a liquor store, we will own it ourselves within our own neighborhood, so that our restaurants, our mom-and-pop restaurants and our lawn care businesses can thrive with funds that have already been allocated, but because we don't know anything about it, we don't get it. So that's what I'm about. We're looking for aspiring entrepreneurs already in business nationwide, and we want no less than 1,000 per state. Okay, Dr. Raymond Youngblood Jr., founder of Youngblood Industries, is a premier international minerals extractor, focusing on precious minerals such as gold, platinum, diamonds, rare earth elements, and other global minerals. He was honored by the state of Louisiana House of Representatives as the world's only Black American international small-scale gold miner. He is a paramount chief of Barbalo County, bestowed by the traditional Council of Chiefs and Elders of the Republic of Liberia. Dr. Youngblood created the first universal currency based on physical assets affixed to technological assets, known as the YGB hybrid currency. The hybrid currency system is based on mining minerals like gold, silver, platinum, etc. He is a multi-published author with books like Virus Wars, Cure versus Culture, currently under review for republishing by several publishing companies. Other titles include Gold Miner, The Jungle, The Desert, The Amazon, a giant coffee table book with 800 pages in full-color photos, Mining Gold in the Jungle and Desert. Another title is A Gold Miner's Thoughts and Coins, and he co-authored a children's series titled Crawlies, Stingies, Flies, Cheese, and Things with his daughter, Serafina, a true sports collegiate student athlete. He holds a doctoral in international business administration, a master's of science and management, and a bachelor's of psychology. He is originally from Louisiana, USA, residing between South America and Africa. His goal is to build a direct relationship between small-scale miners and small-scale farmers worldwide with direct consumers. Dr. Youngblood has been the inspiration behind the small-scale miners wanting to use their minerals to improve and grow their local communities. Let's welcome Dr. Raymond Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood.
Dr. Lee, Dr. Cannon, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Delighted that you're here. And
thank you.
With that, we're going to yield the floor to you to present in your own way. And we're going to again ask everyone to mute your phone, and so that we're minimizing background noise. So the floor is yours, sir, and welcome, and thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to say my presentation about the hybrid and mining would take less than 10 minutes. I hope I can do that. and maybe if not, just open up the floor for some questions. But I also want to say to you that if you may see some weird numbers or online things on your computer screen, and that's the miners chiming in from different places around the world. Normally what we do if I'm on something like this and this kind of interview, they will call in on one phone and there'll be 10 or 15,000 miners at one site and they'll put it on blast over a loudspeaker. So your stream may show one number, but I'm telling you your audience tonight is quite significant. I do know that there's a couple of miners right now in the West Africa. On that site, it's more than 13,000 miners that are listening to us right now. So, just so you know that.
Thank you so very much. Now let's see. So they did they come on via the computer or?
I don't know how they call in. They called me earlier. I sent the info to them, so if they're not on, they'll soon be on. But or they can be on one of those numbers. I don't know which number it's going to be. If you know anything about West Africa, you got to have multiple phones for different SIM cards, so you know you even get a call out. And so I don't know whose phone they're using to broadcast, but I do know that they're on or will be on.
Okay, so we just want to be sure that, you know, if they're calling in, you know, they tap one, they can, the link, they would need to probably text questions. I'm not certain about that. Now, Dr. Cannon would know because he's more familiar, but I do know that by the computer, they can subscribe to, they could subscribe to Dr. Mary Lee Live and come into the chat room. And then we will see their questions. And so, but we will definitely open up any and everyone's line who tapped one. And we welcome you all. Dr. Youngblood, please take your time with your presentation. And we certainly want to accommodate everyone in every part of the world. So take your time. Okay, sir. Go ahead. For sure.
Okay, thank you. So
you're welcome.
I just want to make sure that I understand to the audience, make the audience understand that we are minerals extractors. And a mineral extractor is basically someone who goes into an area, a piece of land, look for minerals, and that mineral can consist of anything from gold to silver, copper, rare earth elements, diamonds, zinc. It doesn't matter what that mineral is. Granite, marble, quartz. And we bring that mineral out of the earth. So the reason why I'm saying that is on the stage tonight, I know we're going to talk about blockchain and cryptocurrencies, and they also use the term miner. But what they're talking about is digital mining, meaning that a computer is searching for code. So when we use the term miner, when I use the term miner, I'm talking about a mineral extractor, somebody that's actually looking and extracting gold, the physical gold. So, so what we do for a living is that we do mineral extraction. And in the process of doing this, there's a couple of problems that we decided, actually there's four problems that we wanted to address with our extraction abilities. The first one that we wanted to address is that on the world market today, gold and silver is traded on the world market, but there's also several different types of gold and silver that's being traded. There's the physical gold and silver that you know that you see in the movies with bars of gold and silver, 24 carats, and then there's another type of gold that's being traded, silver that's being traded, is done in what they call paper certificates, which is gold certificates. And these gold certificates is traded based on the actual physical gold and silver. But it's a big problem, and I'm going to get into why it's a big problem, Dr. Lee, Dr. Ken. Okay, so with that understanding, the high, we created, the miners, we created what is called a hybrid currency. The hybrid currency is basically this. It's a physical asset that we extract and is affixed to what is called a technological asset. Bring those two together, you get a hybrid. The physical asset can consist of multiple minerals in the formation of their purest form. That can be copper, that can be gold, that can be silver, cobalt, beryllium, lithium, nickelonium. I can go on and on and on with the minerals. Then that technological asset consists of things that are in that area of quantum technologies, artificial intelligence, and including all the coded technologies that include things like programming, application, NFTs, blockchain. All of these are more or less a formation of the technological asset. And the reason why that is that nobody knows what the future holds for what technologies is going to advance. Right now, the leading one is blockchain. Before blockchain, it was something else. The other one that's coming on very strong right now is called NFTs. The one that's looking like it's going to supersede all of them is quantum technologies and artificial intelligence. Okay, so I'm laying all that out there. So now let me go into explaining, and then all what I'm saying to everybody is going to make sense here. Okay, so there are two types of miners that exist right now. The main two are what is known as large scale and small scale. Large-scale miners are your miners that are normally publicly traded. They basically go to a stock market, Toronto Stock Exchange, New York Stock Exchange, Tokyo Stock Exchange, and they raise billions of dollars to go and do mining. And normally these large-scale mining companies, if they work in foreign countries, like if I'm in Ghana, I'm not actually allowed to do what is called small-scale mining. That's normally left up to the locals. So we're all classified in that industrial mining area, which is large scale. But the word small scale can also be a little bit misleading, because small scale miners actually means anybody that's out mining with a pan and a shovel, which in the U.S. they refer to as prospectors. Overseas, they refer to as artisanal or small scale miners. Either way it goes, it's a one-person show. And then a small-scale miner can even be the size of an industrial mining company, because all industrial mining companies are not gigantic. And small-scale miners can also have 400 or 500 employees working on one site. And that's normally what separates the two miners. There's a big problem that's happening right now in the entire industry, and it's happening globally. So that's what we call PBGM. And what that is producers, growers, manufacturers, and builders. So there's a whole bunch of people that's selling things, but there's very few people that's making things. It kind of goes along with what you and Dr. Cannon said a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Everybody's selling, but nobody is making. Nobody's producing. Nobody's growing. Nobody's building. Nobody's manufacturing, especially in the Western Hemisphere. And if it in this the sellers are starting to really outnumber the manufacturers and the builders and so on. This is beginning to be a very big problem, and everything is starting to kind of flip upside down, and which is what will bring you into like a recession and sooner or later a depression. Mm-hmm. If you have too many sellers and not enough makers, it's an issue. Mm-hmm. But there's only so many consumers that can buy. Okay, so that brings me to this next point that I want to make. In the industry of mining, there's a formation of how things work currently. Basically what happens is the miners go into the jungle or the desert. We look for the mineral, and we bring the mineral out. When we bring that mineral out, then there's a group of people that's known as middlemen or brokers. And these middlemen and brokers are basically there to buy up what minerals that the miners are extracting. They know that the miners are in these living in these harsh conditions and working in these most difficult conditions. And normally the miners are in countries that don't have quite the abilities as a developed nation. So if you're looking at a country similar to, like, let's say, take Liberia, for example, the miners there are not as privy to having access to things as the miners would be in the United States or even some parts of China. So the brokers know this, and the brokers over the years, over the centuries have taken advantage of this. So basically the idea of the whole broker system is I go into the bush, I wait for the miners to bring it out of the ground, I pay them the least amount of money possible for it, and then I bring it back to whatever country I'm going to and sell it at a premium. This is a big problem. It is a huge problem. It is one of the problems that actually is causing a lot of stagnation in the small scale mining industry. It's also adding on to it. The miners, we also have our own faults with deforestation, environmental concerns, and different things of that, rivers poisoning, land poisoning. Everybody is contributing to this. And so the brokers, by reducing the pay to the miners, is causing the miners to do four extreme things than normal to extract these minerals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now that this problem exists, it's been done so very normally. It's a normal practice that the brokers do this. So let me give you how many factors here that exist with the brokers. So in the sense of sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I got so many things I want to explain. In the sense of the small-scale miners, a miner would mine, and there's what's called a bush broker. And the bush broker would buy from the miner at a very reduced price, knowing that the miner don't have the ability to sell that mineral overseas. That bush broker would then transact with what is known as a government broker. Once that government broker makes the recording and gets their pay, then that bush broker then transacts with what is called a transport broker. That transport broker then takes it back to the town, normally capital city, wherever, and that transport broker normally interacts with what is called a smelter. That smelter charges their fees, their costs, add all that in, and then that smelter then sells it over to what is known as a international transporter. That international transporter, whether they're legal or illegal, doesn't really matter at this point, transports it back to whatever country they're going for. Normally that's the U.S., Great Britain, Germany, Japan. These countries is normally where Dubai, where the gold or the silver or the other minerals end up. Then once on ground, that international broker then sells it over to a local broker, and that local broker then transforms it over to a refinery. So before that gold makes it to the consumer, it's going to touch at least six brokers in a legal way, and nine brokers if you add all the three illegal transactions in there. So it's six to nine brokers that are added into this exchange. Every single time a broker touches it, the cost goes up for the consumer, not for the miner. The miner has already been depressed. The miner has already gotten their pay, which is a reduced pay, way below what the world market price is, normally in the form of taking advantage of, and then it's come back to the consumer. And the consumer normally takes it in the form of jewelry or technology or medicine or something of the kind. This is the normal process that exists today. This is also another problem that we want to address. The third problem that we want to address is the first problem is that there is a price problem. There's a price problem with the miners. The miners are not getting a fair price. The second problem is that there's too many brokers involved in the whole transaction of everything. The third problem is that with all of this going on, what I was talking about earlier with there's too many producers, that's not enough producers, not enough builders, not enough manufacturers, and not enough growers, leads to this third problem. And the third problem is money can just be made up. So if you take money that can just be made up, and we use gold for an example, gold certificates. So if you right now, Dr. Lee, Dr. Cannon, If you bought gold right now, if you bought a 1 kilogram bar on the world market, you're going to be likely issued, both of you will be issued a, what is called a gold certificate. Then I come in and I buy a bar. I'm also going to be issued a gold certificate. One of your family members come in. As many as 20 of us. Here's what you don't know. It is likely that the 20 of us, including the three of us, own the exact same gold bar. Not a different one, the exact same one. And the reason that is because the broker system has convinced everybody that you don't want to hold the gold at your house. You want to keep it in their storage facility. They issue you something similar to what's called a safekeeping receipt, which is a broker's term. Miners don't do that. And then you would now think that I got gold. In actuality, you and 19 other people own the exact same gold. So let's say that you decide that Dr. Cannon decided, you know what, he wants his gold. He wants to feel it, touch it. He wants to keep it under his mattress.
So I want my money
calls
down.
The company, and he tells them, he says, I'll have that gold sent to me. And they're going to convince him or try to convince him that he should not receive it. They're even going to throw some other things out. They're going to offer him some free silver. They're going to say, hey, you want some $20 an ounce silver? We'll throw some silver in if you just keep it with us. But if he just insists, I mean, he just insists he wants it, they're going to say, fine, we're going to send it to you. They're going to charge him an astronomical fee. He originally paid $50,000 for it. Now he has to figure out a way to pay for the storage fees because they're going to charge him for that, transaction fee, administration fee, shipping fee, insurance. He's going to have 6 or 7 fees that are attached on it. By the time it's finished, that gold is $5,000 to $7,000 more than what it's worth. It's also about 60 to 70% more than what the miner took it out the ground for. So now he pays that extra fee. So here's what the brokers are going to do. The brokers are then going to call somebody like me or go back to another small-scale miner to get that gold at the market price because you've already paid above market price. You're already upside down your gold already. This is once it gets to them from me, then they're going to send you that bar because I've replaced that bar. And they now have made $5,000 on all the fees and everything that they charge you on gold that actually does not exist. Because if all 20 of us call at the same time, they can't yield it. They cannot.
Wow.
But the system has been perfect. This is what the system has been perfect doing. The system has been perfect in convincing you that you should hold on to the gold for years. You should hold on to it for years, even pass it on to your kid. That's what you should do. Your children should take advantage of it. And that's what the current system is, and that's something that we want to fix because that's literally just making up gold that does not exist. 20 people cannot own the same kilo. They just can't. That's not physically possible. Is and can be in a broker system. Then there's another problem that has been created, and I don't necessarily look at it like it's a problem, but it is getting a little bit out of hand, and that is brought on what we know as if gold can just be created out of thin air, and a miner like myself has no part in it, and everybody is just going with gold certificate, and somebody can sell the same piece of gold 20 times. Or put it out for investment on 9 times, why can't I just create a computer code and it be worth something? I absolutely love the technology, blockchain. I love it. I love how it has forced countries to up their game. I love how it has showed us some weaknesses in our different banking system. I love how it has made smaller people become a little bit more powerful. I love all of that. The part that I'm not 100% convinced on is if Dr. Ken, Dr. Lee, right now tonight, if we wanted to make a cryptocurrency called Cannon Lee or Lee Cannon or Youngblood Late Lee Cannon, whatever name we want to give it, we can call it bottle cap. We can call it bottle cap cryptocurrency. We can set a price, put it on a platform, and it can be making money by tomorrow morning. I'm not joking when I say that. 13,000 cryptocurrencies exist. 13,000. Some of them out of people's garage, some of them in offices, some of them in countries that you can't even spell the name of. 13,000 of them. Everybody using the exact same formation, technology, and setup. It really depends on how your community behaves as to which one of those cryptos is valuable. What makes Bitcoin so valuable is Bitcoin will tell you that it's because it has a limited supply. Okay, so we're going to create 21 million bottle caps, the three of us, and we're going to say that you need 100 million pull tabs to get each bottle cap. That's totally fine. That's what everybody else is doing. Why we can't do that? So then somebody's going to say, well, what makes it valuable? We're going to say because we have a limited supply, even though we just made a limited supply up tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to make it an unlimited supply, we can do that. If we want to add 5 million to it, we can do that. Either way it goes, it is a community involvement. If the community, this is one, another thing about the blockchain and the cryptos that I like. If their community says it's valuable, then in their community it's valuable. Nobody can say that it's not because that's what they believe. The U.S. dollar is valuable to everybody in the United States because that's what everybody has to go by. I can take you to places right now where you can buy something for 50 U.S. dollars, and if you do not have a Colombian peso to pay for it, they don't want to even take the payment of 100 U.S. dollars, even though they're going to make 50 extra dollars. They're going to tell you to either go get it exchanged because there's nothing I can do with that here. The Ghana city is worth what it is because the Ghanaians feel that way about it. Ugandan shilling, the same way. Canadians, the same way. Everybody's currency is worth something because the community says that it's worth something. Outside of that community, it holds very little to no value. Does the U.S. dollar have value outside? But it's one of very few that does. And it's starting to diminish on its own. Because I can't use the Ghana city in Togo. I cannot use the Nigerian, the Naira in Canada. It's only valuable to their communities. All of this is an issue because it's not supposed to be in that format where one currency can outdominate the other. If that's the case, if we have a problem with what is called too many denominations, 235 nation states, and everybody got their own currency, then what are we doing with 13,000 cryptos? 13,000. We're creating and building on the same issue that we had before. The only thing that's also blessed for is if you get in early and you buy enough of it, hopefully the people that come behind you will be able to pay for what you bought. That's the whole premise of it. That's not a currency. That's a product. A currency works as a system, not as a product. Okay, so the fourth problem and the last problem that we want to address is that not everybody has access to a universal currency. Everybody doesn't have access to it. Not everybody has access to banking, and not everybody has access to the technology that everybody's moving forward on. There are some countries around the world that do not have the internet capacity or the electricity capacity to utilize smartphones that utilizes cryptocurrencies. I don't care what infrastructure is being built, it's not built now. There's nobody that can make me see it differently because not only do I live and move in these countries, I work in these countries. I know what the internet is like. I know what the electricity is like. I know what the capacity of these countries can do. I'm also from rural Louisiana, and I can tell you right now, my auntie in rural Louisiana, with the internet speed that she has there and with her phone in and out and with tornadoes and hurricane and electricity off half the time, she don't have the capacity to operate a crypto on her phone the way somebody in the city would. They just don't have it. For heaven's sakes, everybody, we couldn't even put all the kids on online classes. When COVID first hit, everybody was struggling to have kids on online classes.
So instantly right there what you're doing is some people don't have access to the technology, so they can be left behind. And you can create, you can fix some problems and even create a bigger problem. But I still would stand behind the technology and say that it's useful. And the reason being is everybody agrees on it. The community agree on it. I don't have no problem to agree with the community. The other thing is Ford wants to do their own blockchain. McDonald's wants to do their own. Target wants to do its own. So you telling me that Target is going to let you take their crypto over to Walmart? They are not. Ford is going to let you take their crypto over to Chevy or Toyota? They are not. They are not going to allow that. Just like you can't take the A plan from Ford and go over and use it at Chevy. They will not allow it. It's going to be another jealous system of everybody sticking with their own. The Gunyans are always going to keep the city. The Canadians are always going to keep the Canadian dollar. And we, in the United States, it takes 3 pennies to make 1 penny, and we don't want to get rid of the penny. That's how much we love our currency. 3 pennies to make it costs too much money to make 1 penny, but because of culture, nobody wants to get rid of the penny. It's just a part of our culture, so we spend money on it to keep it. These are all the issues that when we looked at, the first one being the miners are being taken advantage of. And when the miners are being taken advantage of, the small-scale farmers are being taken advantage of. The miners support an average of 15 family members. One miner supports 15 family members. There is 40.5 million small-scale miners globally times 15 family members. There's 150 million small-scale farmers globally. Their family size is anywhere between 9 to 11 that one farmer takes care of. And that doesn't include all the market people that sell all the goods and do all the businesses that's associated with these small-scale miners and small-scale farmers. It is a huge impact. Remember the second problem I said? There's just too many middlemen in the system. I'm sorry, it is. It's just too many. Six to nine people touching it before you get it. By the time you get it, all the value has been sucked out, and then everybody has convinced you that you need to hold on to it for 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 years. That's the current thing. If I talk to somebody for gold right now, I can't tell you how many times I have to remind people, remember, I'm the miner. I'm not the broker. The language and the conversation that you're going to have with me is going to be completely different than what the language and conversation that exists with a broker. The other format that I want you to remember is everybody now, we're just making up money. Cryptos, making up things, and the gold certificate is another issue. And then finally, the technology, the banking, and the universal currency. So I want to come in with something here, Dr. Lee, Dr. Cannon. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you a piece of information that most people don't know. So I'm going to use three countries. I'm going to use Liberia, I'm going to use the United States, and I'm going to use Qatar.
Okay.
The numbers I'm going to be basing this on is what is known as the GDP PPP, the gross domestic product and the purchasing power per person. These are normally two economic factors that are not normally discussed together, but they should be discussed together, and here's why. So let me give you an example of it. A poor nation, and I'm using that word because I want to express a point. Plus, let me just use that word. And anybody who come on stage who don't like me using it, I have a few words to explain to them too so they can understand. A poor nation like Liberia, the Republic of Liberia, where my daughter was born, where I still have family, where I still have a company, where I still have my house and I live. A poor nation like Liberia, their purchasing power per person based on their GDP is anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000 per person. So basically what that means is each Liberian is worth $2,000 to $5,000. And why the number fluctuates so much is simply because it depends on how much aid they're getting. If they're getting aid from the USAID or UNESCO or the United Nations, the European Union, the World Bank, and the IMF and so on, even if it's a subsidized loan, right now it's the Chinese government and the Japanese government that's pouring money into there in the form of loans. That's what the each citizen is worth. The United States GDP, PPP, is roughly $54,000 to $58,000, depending on which party is in power. It truly depends on which party is in power, okay? One is always trying to outdo the other, the blue and the red, but that's just what it is. And that makes the United States a middle-class nation. A rich nation like Qatar, their GDP, PPP, is roughly $124,000 to $128,000 per person. So the average citizen in Liberia is worth anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000. The average citizen in the United States is worth $54,000 to $58,000. And this is based on our GDP now. And the Qatar is around $124 to $128 per human being. Here is where the miners and what we want to do holds significant weight. What most people don't know is gold and silver in its raw and purest form of 24 carats, doesn't matter if it's 9.9 pure, doesn't matter if it's 3.9 pure, 4.9 pure, 5 or 6.9 pure, it doesn't matter. Gold and silver in its raw and purest form is a currency. In every nation that belongs to the United Nations, all 195. That doesn't matter who or what and how you feel about it. It is not only a currency, it is considered a taxable currency in its purest and rawest form. That gold and silver, whether it's in Liberia, whether it's in the United States or Qatar, is the exact same price. It is the exact same price. Why is it not at the forefront? Gold in the hands of a Liberian whose average PPP is $2,000 for somebody in the United States at $54,000. So 1 gram of gold. I want to hammer this home because I want your audience to really, really understand this. 1 gram of gold, if it's worth $50 on the world market, it's the same $50 in all three of those nations. It doesn't matter how many billionaires are in your nation. It doesn't matter how many people living in abject poverty in your nation. That gold and silver will trade identically in each one of those countries. Why is it that the miners are being exploited the way they are? So I want to move on to something else. Unless you have a question for me, Dr. Lee or Dr. Cannon, or want me to express something else, I'm going to move into what we created to solve this problem, which is what we refer to as the YGB hybrid currency.
Okay, you can go ahead for me, Dr. Cannon.
Okay.
Oh, no, I have a lot of questions.
Okay, well, let's let him go on for now. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so one of the things and what we did was we took a look at the four problems that I presented and that we wanted to solve these problems. Now, we know other problems exist. We know that. And we also are aware that our own system is going to need work and we've got problems and so on and so forth. But we also know that something got to be done about it now. We know this. And somebody's got to do something that's a little bit different or is useful. One of the things that we focused on was we did not focus on interrupting anybody's system. We did not focus on whether it will bring down a governmental system or attack a fiat or even go after cryptos. That wasn't our mission. Matter of fact, that was far from our mind. We're not even looking at it as it's got to be decentralized and we don't want governmental hands inside of it. We don't even care about that. We don't even care about whether or not it destroys other markets. The reason why we don't care about any of those things as miners is because we are being destroyed. If I'm a miner, I'm a small-scale miner, and I'm working in the bush, and I'm raising a family, and my wife is pregnant, why is it that my wife got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, she's pregnant, and she got to go outside to use the bathroom? But the people who are exploiting the gold from us, their wives get to walk down the hallway and use the bathroom. Why my wife got to go outside and be with the mosquitoes? So if you don't care about my wife, why are you asking me to care about your wife? My kids want to be in a school. My kids want to be in a school that has air conditioning and indoor plumbing and windows. My kids don't want to go to a school that a church group felt bad for us and came over and built a building, but we don't have indoor plumbing. Why do my kids got to go to that school? That same thing, that same process is what's causing major friction. So here's something else that happened that came to us to build a system. So we miners, we tried to fix these problems ourselves because no miner is asking for aid. You're not going to see a miner going nowhere asking anybody for any aid. And if I caught any of the miners doing that, I will smack their hand. We don't need to stick our hand out. And here's why we don't need to stick our hand out. We tried to fix the problem ourselves. So we tried to do what the brokers did. We created gold coins. And we were going to create these special gold coins. And these gold coins, we're going to have special pictures on there. Like everybody like. Everybody likes the standing liberty, sitting liberty, walking liberty. Anything with a statue of liberty on it, always got to be good. And it's got to be perfect mint quality. 24 karat. And it's going to be a PF70. And it's going to have all this. I'm going to take my little looking glass out. I'm going to look through and I'm going to look at my coin and see how beautiful it shines. We got into that. Then it hit us. This is gold. It's probably going to be melted down to be used in some form of technology, whether it's aerospace, medicine, dentistry, iPhones, Androids. It's probably going to be used. So why do I care about it shining with the Statue of Liberty or the Canadian maple leaf or the China panda? What good is it doing me with a nice picture on it? And then I actually pay more for it because of that picture. That artistic value is what they call it. It shouldn't be this much. And I took it out the ground for one-fifth of this cost. So where is the stored value in that? Okay, that doesn't make sense to us. All right, so then we tried to do jewelry. And we, as miners, we sat around, and I said, nothing we produce is going to be below 18 carats. I hear 2 Chainz singing. I hear all the rappers going on and on about bling. So we're the men behind the bling. We're the men and women behind the bling. I'm the one making everybody bling, so I'm going to make this 18 carat, and I know everybody's going to come to us because everybody else is selling 12 to 14 carat, and anybody who's buying 12 carat doesn't realize they're buying less than 50% gold because gold at 24 carat is 99 purity, which is not at 100, which means that 12 is less than 50%. So you're buying somewhere around 48, 49% gold, and you're paying 24 carat prices for it. So we're going to come in. We're going to fix this problem. We're going to sell 18 carats, 22 carats, and then 23.875. Why are we going to make it at 23.875? Is because we're going to keep it just below 24 carats, so it's not a currency. It's still in the form of jewelry, but it has a high purity value. And if you ever want to sell it and get rid of it, you're going to get a whole lot more money for it than you would at 12 and 10 carats. But somebody in the broker system convinced the whole world that 20 carats, 22 carats, 18 carats is too soft and it's going to break. And you're better off paying more money if I mix this gold with another alloy like nickel or even zinc or tin to make it stronger for you. But you're going to pay 24 carat price even though you're getting less than 50% gold. So what, everybody going to be outside playing football in the Cuban links? It depends on the design. If it is designed properly, gold is also a metal. It's just a softer metal, more denser. If this gold is that soft, then let me take a bar of gold and smack you in the face with it if it's that soft. No, it's not that soft. But if I want to take advantage of you and make you buy 14 carat at 24 carat price, then I got to come up with something. So we miners, we out there trying to make the gold go and make the jewelry go, and then nobody wants to buy from the miners because we don't look as special as the brokers. And the brokers have convinced you that you can't trust us. We're the guys that's in the bush. We're the guys that's in the jungle. We're the guys that's making your iPhone work, your satellite float, your Boeing and Airbus and all those are making jets. The U.S. is making fighter jets using all of our minerals, but yet you don't trust us. So you go and you buy the broker gold. So that didn't work for the gold miners. That didn't work for the lithium miners. That didn't work for the rhodium and platinum miners. So we have to think of something else. And we're wrapping our brain around it, and we're wrapping our brain around it, and we cannot figure out how to bust through this. What are we going to do? The brokers are looking more like vampires. They're smooth. They're well-dressed. They're cunning. They're educated. They look nice. And we're more like the werewolves. We're in the middle of the bush. We're dirty. Nobody trusts us. We speak 1,500 different dialects. Who's going to trust us? Most of us are from black countries, black and brown countries, so you're definitely going to have a little bit of hesitation there. Even if you're black, you're still going to have some hesitation because the miners got to be scammers. Why? Because the brokers say they're scammers. Most of the miners don't even have access to the Internet, so how are they going to send you a scam email? They don't even have email accounts. I got miners right now listening on this call on one phone and 15, 16,000 miners in one location. That's the kind of lifestyle the miners are living. But every single broker is on this call on their own individual phone from a metal that we took out the ground. But yet you don't trust us. I don't blame you. None of the miners do. So one day we woke up and we decided we're going to try this thing. And then I wrapped my brain around it, Dr. Lee, Dr. Ken. I wrapped my brain around it. I fought it. I would go on all these interviews. I would talk. Then one day, I woke up. I mean, literally, I was asleep, and I woke up. And as we Louisiana people can say, like a rock to my face, it hit me. Holy smoke. We are mining money. It never dawned on me. It never dawned on me when I go inside of a tunnel 300 meters deep into the earth, 25 pounds of dynamite, drilling out 3-meter holes, packing that dynamite, blasting that tunnel, bringing and carrying that rock out, bringing it down off the mountain, whether I'm doing it by conveyor belt, whether I'm doing it by a pulley system or pack mules, however it is, I'm bringing it back to the processing plant. It never dawned on me I was literally mining currency. I always looked at it the same way the brokers had everybody looking at it. It's just a product for me to export from you and go and sell it to the consumer. The miners are suppressed. They can't do nothing about it. There's nobody among them that can come and tell this story. And if they did, they're in languages that nobody's going to appreciate or care anyway, or some African dialect or South American dialect that nobody's going to pay attention to. The Spanish is so bad that even people that speak Spanish can't translate it. We're mining money. I blast that rock, I take that silver, that platinum, that palladium, that rhodium, that nickel, that cobalt. It never dawned on me. And then I told the miners, I said, this is what we're going to do. And I'm going to give you a little bit of recent history here. So we tried to work out something with the brokers, and we tried to work out where, hey, you guys need to treat us better and give us better prices. I, as an individual miner, I can take my mine and I can go and make billions of dollars, no problem. But what about my other miners? What about the little ones that can't do that? They can't defend for themselves. I'm not talking about the renegades, the ones who just going to do whatever the brokers say do. I'm talking about the guys who want earnest, hard day work for a good pay. Them the people I'm talking about. Them the millions of miners I'm talking about. Who's going to stand up for them and their communities? And if you fix the miner problem, you fix a community problem, because the miners are mining money. So this is where we came to, Dr. Lee. I want to finish this thought here. Okay, so when we look at it from that standpoint, when I told the miners, I said, this is what we're going to do. What we're going to do is I'm going to talk with the brokers and let's see how it goes. So the brokers basically told me to fluff off, get out their face, basically take whatever we can get. That's basically how the conversation went on two different occasions. I don't want to bring up no names, even though I know some high-profile brokers, and some of them gave me some really good info. So I went back to the miners, and I said, this is what we're going to do. We need to show the world that we're not playing with them. And they say, Dr. World. I say, the world. I'm talking about people on planet Earth. If they are a human being, that's who I'm talking to. whether they are part of the system or not part of the system, we need to gain a little bit of respect here, because without these minerals, the world does not turn. It ceased to exist. We will all go back to the Stone Ages. I don't care how much you love Apple. It cannot exist without gold, platinum, titanium oxide, and all this stuff. If you want to know what titanium oxide is, when you turn your phone over and it has that nice, pretty shine on it, titanium oxide. If you want to know what makes you send an email or text message through your iPhone very quickly, say, oh, thank you, miners, for the gold. So on and so on. The aluminum casing that is in. All of these are the minerals. That plasma TV that you watch. The what keeps your emission in your car from the palladium from smoking up the entire city. This is all the things that we're producing. So I came back to the miners, Dr. Lee, and I said, this is what we're going to do. Nobody gets gold below market price.
Mm-hmm.
The miners are just sitting there frantic, the ones that are before me. So we're going to put a call out. We're going to put a call out to all the traditional leaders. We're going to put a call out to all the traditional leaders and consist of the paramount chiefs, the clan chiefs, the sub chiefs, the village chiefs, the town chiefs, and the elders. We're going to put a call out to all the big known small-scale miners, all my buddies and friends, thousands of them. I want to put a call out. All the little miners that look at me as the father to them as small-scale miners, everybody who got any ounce of respect for us, we put a call out. The whole world is cut off from cheap gold. Everybody cut off. I don't care if it destroys every economy on planet Earth. You can't destroy one group of people and let another group of people keep living a wonderful life and another group of people is suffering. You can't do that. I live with that whole thing in Louisiana like that. The rural people is definitely not treated with the people. The people who live on dirt roads is not treated the same way people who live on asphalt. But I'm not a little boy anymore where I can take that. Now we can all do something about it. We all grown men and women, we can do something about it now. All we got to do as miners is stick together. Come together, stick together. I know the miners can't hold out for 2 years, 3 years. I know they can't do that. But here's what happened, Dr. Lee, Dr. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it, but you just didn't know it was a little country boy from Louisiana that caused this problem. You riding down the highway one day, and you see every pawn shop, every jeweler got a sign outside that says, we want cheap, we want to buy your gold. Send us your cell phone. Have a jewelry party. You don't love him no more. You broke up with him. He broke your heart. Send us that ring that he bought you. Take that necklace that your grandma gave you that you never liked in the first place and mail it to us, and we'll send you some cash for it. Don't throw that cell phone away. They put up little kiosks inside all the retail shops so you can put that cell phone inside there so they can take the gold out. Because nobody was getting gold cheap because the miners say you cut off. Nobody gets nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't respect us? That's how it's going to be. That's why that exists. That's why that started happening.
Okay.
Now, I'm coming to land here, Dr. Kennedy. So when we came up with all of that, we also, as miners, we have to have a solution because we can't just keep complaining about the problem. We can't just keep saying people cut off because the miners can't sustain that. They still got to eat. They still got to pay school fees, even though they're getting, you know, little money for the gold that they're taking out the ground. We still got to sustain. So that's where the hybrid currency came into play. Why can't we create a system that miners create that's literally based on physical assets, not digital? It's
mm-hmm.
literally based on physical assets. It's based on the two number one products on planet Earth that can turn anything into a system. It's already respected. Gold and silver is already respected as a currency. Gold and silver is already accepted as a currency. Gold and silver is at the pinnacle of everything. You cannot name me one time when gold compared itself to anything. Bitcoin compares itself to gold. If you want to sell a lot of records, you go on gold. If you want something to be at the highest standard, it's the gold standard. Gold doesn't compare itself to nothing. We're taking it out the ground. We can now put it through any system we want. Nobody can tell the people who first touched it how they should use it and do it. It's just assumed that we have to sell it this way, but it's not so. So now what we decide to do when we create the hybrid currency, we say, you know what? Everything around the hybrid will start with a physical asset first. something people can touch and feel, something that already has value, something that the world needs. Even if they're not going to use gold as a currency, you still need it to talk on your cell phone. You still need it to fly an airplane. You still need it to fly into outer space. You can't do nothing on planet Earth without these minerals. You still need the zinc. You still need the cobalt. Tesla cannot do anything without lithium. And we're the first ones to take it out the ground. So we're going to put it through this system, and we're going to use it the way it was meant to be used in the first place. The one that everybody talked about, but nobody could do. Everybody talked about, well, why don't we use these minerals? These countries are so poor. They got all these gold. They walk on gold. They sleep on gold. They have sex on gold. They pee on gold. They do all this stuff on gold, but yet they're so poor. And that's where the hybrid is as a system, as a currency. The technological asset that I spoke of at the beginning, in the hybrid, there's no digital mining. It's not necessary. I'm going to pay another person hundreds of dollars for the asset, for the electricity. For what? It's just a made-up number in the first place. I created 21 million Bitcoin because I just decided I wanted 21 million Bitcoin. Why not? That means if everybody in the state of Texas with the 26 million people can't have a Bitcoin, 5 million people are going to be short. Forget us, for those of us who are from Louisiana, the 5 or 6 million of us. Forget the 50 million in Colombia or the 5 million in Liberia or the 30 million in Uganda. None of us would get one. We all going to get a fraction. What am I going to do a fraction? That's almost like eating potato chips, and you get down to the last one or two in the bag, and then you got three people who want one. What are you going to do? You going to crunch it up, pour a little bit on their tongue? You going to do some country boy stuff? That ain't going to fly. But the minerals that exist in the ground come out in multiple, the precious, the rare, the furious, all these minerals that are needed and used. Why not base a system on something that we're using on a daily basis? And the main reason why most people are not doing it is because most people believe that they have to do it in the way it's been done right now, which is there's a company that's mining it, and you have to invest in stock in that company to have it. No, you don't. No, you do not. The reason why they're doing that is it stays in one control with one group of people, the people who are able to raise the money. That's it. So we, the miners, decide, you know what? This is how we're going to go about doing it, and that's what we've been doing. The hybrid currency, very simple to understand. The value of it is very simple to understand. It all starts with the mining. If you want me to, I'll go through that whole detail of explaining the mining, how it comes into the system. We broke it down into three categories, which is the basic three categories of mining. The whole process is like a no-brainer. It's so simple. Matter of fact, if y'all don't mind, let me go through that process.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the three processes of the hybrid exist in what is called on hand. And if you're not familiar with it in the stock world, in the stock market world, in the stock exchange world, that's also called spot. But we refer to it as on hand. And on hand simply means that you can put your hands on it right now. It exists right now. Mm-hmm. It's not in the ground anymore. Then there's another process that we refer to, that we miners refer to as in production. That means that it's coming out of the mine, coming through the processing plant, and it's headed to on hand. Then there's another, that this doesn't exist in anybody's world for currency. Then there's another world, what the brokers have, which is called in future, and we also use in future. In the broker world, the futures is more than the spot, literally. Basically, what the brokers have convinced you of is two in the bush is more valuable than one in the hand, if you remember that old saying.
Mm-hmm.
So two in the bush is more valuable, and here's why they do that. They do that because they're raising money constantly raising money. And why not? You don't know any better anyway. You just John Q. Public or Jane Q. Public. You don't know any better. Nobody's even told you that you can own gold outright or you can own access to all these minerals if you had access to them. But why would I give you access to them when I can just sell them to you as a consumer? I don't have to give you no money as it goes through and travels through the money process, as it travels through the supply chain you get none of that. No, none. You're just a user of the product. The other thing that exists with it is referred to as in future. So now I'm going to explain it in the other reverse. So here's how the in future works within a hybrid. In a hybrid, the in future work like this. There's a process in mining called reconnaissance. And reconnaissance basically is where we go into a country and we try to find the best land possible with the best mineral possible. Every mining company does this. This is nothing new. Once we get all that settled, the paperwork settled, the conditions settled, we do everything we're supposed to do with the central government, which is the president, vice president, the House of Representatives, any of those people, and anything we have to do with the traditional government. That's the chiefs, the elders, that whole system. Once we get all that settled, then we move into a process which is called exploration. And exploration is basically where I'm going into that same land and I'm trying to identify how much mineral is in the ground. Is it an inferred amount, meaning I'm guessing it's about this much, or is it a proven amount where we drill holes? You know, we punch holes. Sometimes it's 200 holes, sometimes it's 2,000, 5,000. Whatever we feel comfortable to measure out exactly how much mineral is in the ground. So in this case, we're going to use gold as an example. I'm punching these holes in a diagram, and every hole I punch is recorded, and every hole I punch has a meaning to it. And I'm taking not only an understanding of this land, I'm also paying very close attention to the soil, to the rock, to everything that's involved with it, because this makes a difference later to what type of equipment I'm going to use. You can't bring alluvial equipment to a hard rock mine. It just won't work. So you have to know that. You have to know whether it's mountainous, prairie, swampy. All these things make a very big difference. And I'm just trying to figure out how much mineral is in the ground. That is what everybody, including on the stock exchange, refer to as futures. This is stuff to be taken out the ground in the future because it's not being taken out the ground now. So when we came into the hybrid, we say, okay, we got to do something a little bit more to help our people that we that's going to use the hybrid that come onto the system. We got to do something that will put them closer to us and keep them closer to us. And that's how we came up with another process, which is called in production. Mm-hmm. In production, meaning that it's coming out of the mine and it's coming out of the ground and now into mining. Reconnaissance exploration is in future. In production is now mining, actual mineral extraction. And mining is broken down into five categories, but we normally only use three, but I'm going to give you quickly the five. One is tunnel or underground mining, normally used for hard rock. Rock that's infused, the mineral is infused in the rock. That's normally what hard rock is. Okay, that rock can be anything from granite to quartz to colluvial material. It can be an array of many things. Same stuff that people are now trying to figure out what the asteroids are made out of for mining. It's the exact same thing, except it's in a mountain, or it can be anywhere under a town, under a city. We can be mining anywhere. We can be mining underneath your house, and you don't even know we're under there. Blasting and everything, and you still don't know. So that's the underground. Then there's a process which is called open pit. An open pit is that's exactly what it sounds like. It's a hole in the ground, and we're taking the material out. Hard rock is one, and then normally open pits are for what's called alluvial material. And alluvial is if I took your hand, Dr. Lee, and I took a little salt, and I shake it in there, and I took a little bit of pepper, and I sprinkle it on there, and I take a little bit of pink salt, rock salt, I put it there. I take some baby powder, I put it in your hand. I take a little bit of powdered sugar and I put it in your hand. That whole texture, that whole mix-up, that's what the gold is like in the ground, in this alluvial material. Mm. But it's mixed with gravel, clay, sand, silt, all this stuff is mixed together. That could be 20 feet of earth on top of it, 2 inches of earth on top of it, which is known as topsoil, or 200 feet worth of topsoil on top of it. Either way, we open the ground up and we take it out. Then another process of mining that we use, which is called dredging. And dredging is any body of water. We basically take like something similar to a giant shop vac, like a vacuum cleaner, and we suck it from the bottom of that water base, whether that's a river, the ocean, a pond, a swamp, a lake, doesn't matter. That's normally what is referred to as dredging. Then there's two other ones that we don't use, but it's still common. One of these is mainly used for liquids, which is not in silk, which is normally in situ, sorry, and it's normally referred to as fracking, where we take pressure, we put a pipe in the ground, and we push chemicals and water under very high pressure, and it dissolves this material out of the rock, and we suck it up. We suck it up later. That's fracking. And then the fifth one that is, thank goodness, it's starting to be banned and outlawed everywhere, even though some miners still use it, large and small scale, still use it. It's called hydro. And hydro is where water is put under very high pressure through pipes, and it comes out. If you took a water hose and you stuck it into the ground, the higher you turn that water up, the hole, it'll start digging a hole in the ground. It'll start pushing and bubbling up the ground and dissolving whatever materials that, and that's the same thing it does with hydro. Thank goodness that one is starting to be outlawed and banned in a lot of countries.
Mm-hmm.
But some miners still do use it. So we normally use the first three. We normally do underground,
okay,
which is tunnels, where we go in with dynamite and we blast hydraulic hammers, pneumatic hammers, and we bring it out through these cable cars, a little train system, and we bring it down off the mountain or out of the hole that way. And the other one is open pit and dredging. So once you get through with the mining process, then it goes over to what's called process, and the processing plant. We're still in the stage of the app or the hybrid called in production. And it goes over to what is called processing. And process is when we bring it into this processing plant, and we're going to take that rock and we're going to pulverize it. We're going to crush it into a powder. And then that's normally done with these machines that are called crushers in the form of jaw crusher, hammer mills, cone crushers, ball mills, all these types of crushers. And then it goes over to the process, which is referred to as the separation. And the separation is when we start to take the mineral out of this material. The gold is now starting to come out. And sometimes through exploration, we find out that we went out the gold, but it may be more platinum in this earth than it was gold. Or sometimes it's more silver. Sometimes it's cobalt. Sometimes it's copper. All these different minerals can be there. Normally it can be 5, 7, sometimes 15, 20 minerals in one location, different amounts. So we start separating it out. And then we use this process, which is simple physics, which is basically gravitational, where the gold is 20 times heavier than water, and it separates from the lighter material as it goes through this shaking table or centrifuge process. And that material that's in your hand, remember that baby powder, that's powdered sugar? This process normally don't catch this material, so it has to go over to tanks, which is called sanitation process, where it is now basically mixed with a chemical, and that gold adheres together, and now you can separate it out. And then it goes through the final stage of in production, which is the smelting, which is where we basically purify that gold and turn it into 24 carats. And at that point, it goes over to that first stage I talked about, which is on hand. Every stage of the way, the people that we have that's not only signed up for the hybrid, that will use the hybrid in the future, doesn't matter if it's tomorrow or 50 years from now, this is the same process that we will use, and this is the same process that everybody will have a step on. And what this does is it keeps the consumer, it keeps you, everybody in the audience, directly associated with every single stage along the way and its value, increase or decrease. Once it gets into the hybrid currency, what we call the hybrid currency app, once it gets to the on hand and is uploaded to the system, now the user has two directions it can go. The first direction it can go is it can be sent to you. Two products can be sent to you, a third one on special order. The two that can be sent to you is gold and silver. If you order it, it can be sent to you. Okay? And
okay,
I know some people are going to come onto the system, and I know that they are going to test this old country boy to say, let me see if Dr. Youngblood is full of crap, and I want to have a few grams of gold sent to me. No problem. It'll be sent to you. It'll be sent to the address that's on file, but it can only go to a physical address. Sorry, people, no P.O. boxes. And I'm already aware of the mailbox places that can pretend like they're an actual physical address, but the actual P.O. box is not going there either. I apologize, but this is gold we're talking about, not a product from Amazon. Okay?
Okay.
So, and then the other option that the people have is that it can stay inside the app in your account. Nobody has mm-hmm. access to your account but you. There's nobody in your upline. There's nobody in your downline. It's just you and your account. Even if your friend bring you on, your friend ain't got nothing to do with you and your account. Your friend not going to make no money off your account. Your friend ain't going to get no profits off your account. Your friend is just doing you a very good favor by bringing you closer to the miners the same way they are closer to the miners. Everybody account mm-hmm. is everybody account. That process okay. then, once it's there, is divided up into denominations. And the denominations is micrograms, milligrams, and grams. And why mm-hmm. on earth would any miner break the gold down into micro and milli? Simple. If you want the whole world to be able to afford it and be a part of it, you got to make it so they can afford it and be a part of it. Everybody inside the system is not going to be equal in their value. Some people are going to be extremely rich. Some are going to be very well off. Some are going to be happy. Some are going to be growing their account as they grow, the same way life exists now. But you have to have them the ability to be able to be a part of the system. Even if it's a little bit, they should be able to be a part of it. That's one thing I like about the crypto. That's one of the things they did.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy a whole Bitcoin. Most people can't buy a whole Bitcoin, but you can buy a Satoshi. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a computer code or not, you can buy a Satoshi. It's what, a few pennies, right? It's the exact same process. Once it's there,
okay.
and then it's affixed to, and I'm coming to land here for you, Dr. Lee, Dr. Cannon. I know
okay.
y'all probably like, the boy can talk.
No problem.
I'm about to finish right now. Once it's in the system, that's when it's affixed to the technological asset. And here is one of the things
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to have one technological asset? It's not your fault the people who created cryptocurrency only did it with one. How is that your fault? The hybrid will use many. The hybrid can use all of them. The hybrid can use the quantum. The hybrid can use the artificial intelligence. The hybrid can use blockchain coded, which consists of programming, application, NFTs. It can use it. Why not? Who says you can't? Just like nobody can say the crypto can't be. Ether tells you that it's different than Bitcoin, but yet it's still a cryptocurrency. And that is where I think I'll take a land that say that the hybrid currency consists
mm-hmm.
of a minimum of two assets. One of them have to be a physical asset. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be nothing else. The other one can
mm-hmm.
be any of the other technological assets or all of the technological assets. Whatever the community on the hybrid wants to do with that, it can go up in value or not down in value. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the community. But that physical asset will be in your account. It can be in your account in multiple physical assets, gold, silver, platinum,
mm-hmm.
palladium, titanium, lithium, whatever the case may be. Anything we miners are taking from the earth is going to go through the hybrid. And there is a
mm-hmm.
lot of So I yield with that said there, Dr. Lee, Dr. Ken. I'm open for any questions, no matter.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. Dr. Cannon, before we get to you, I do want to, we've got a number of questions, so I want to get, some have been waiting a very long time. Then we'll get to our own questions. Okay, error code 314, your last four digits are 4600. You are live.
Hello, doctor. How are you doing today?
I'm okay.
Doing well, thank you.
You know, Mr. Cannon, you doing what I was doing back in the early part of 2000.
Okay.
They're outside of Kumasi. They're in Takra. Only
you
thing
mean
I was
Takra?
No, not Takra. It's Takwa.
Takwa. Yeah, Takra.
And we were, of course, cryptocurrency was just beginning at that time. But
okay.
we were doing a Luva, and actually when we started mining, it was about $257 an ounce to mine. We was paying people.
Oh, you way back then. You telling your age right now to me right now. So
yeah. And I
okay,
had a
good.
License from PMMC, Precious Metals
PMMC.
Marketing Company.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, and then what I didn't sell to them, I would give it to them. They would package it and send it, put the commodity code on it, and send it through on airplane to where I was in St. Louis at the time. I had a custom broker to declare it, and then I'd take it and bring it home. It wasn't no duty on it because it didn't have no value added to it.
Right, it wasn't. They kept it under 24 to keep it from doing that.
Yeah, well, mine was like 23.
Yeah,
well,
23.8,
I did that after I came. Yeah, 23.995, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you take it out of the ground, it's about 22. Well, PMMC would further refine it for you, or they send it like it is. You know, you don't want to be hauling nothing less than 22 because you just haul dirt.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. So you ain't the only Black American that was doing that. So you got company.
Okay. Well, I welcome it. It's a lonely world.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's a lot of opportunity. You talk about mining. I work with some Nigerians that got Columbike on their uncle's property.
Okay.
And I do design a port there in Ondo State there in Nigeria. So it's a lot of things that can be done on it, but people got to know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And that just makes a big difference. I never did deal with the government. I dealt with chiefs and also PMMC.
Okay.
And you're right about the small scale. I bought equipment. I had like 12 of those washers, and I let some of the local villagers let them have a couple of them, and they was washing anything they found it, you know, I would buy it from them.
Right.
But if we had any big quantities of stuff, we would fly it back to PMMC. They had an office in Kumasi, and they had one in Accra, of course.
Right,
So, yeah, what you're talking about doing with the coin is adding value. That's a good thing. And, you know, another thing, too, those resources in the ground can be monetized.
Mm-hmm.
Other words, the country can print currency, their own currency, against the value of the resources in the ground in order to fund and capitalize projects.
Yes. Yes.
But they got to be honest. And that's a whole different
story. I've spoken to quite a few heads of states about it already. So they're actually more excited about the hybrid than they are doing it for themselves. And one of the reasons for that is let me not speak on that, but when I speak with the heads of states about it, one of the reasons for doing it is they need for it to go global. They want it to be global how we're doing right now. And so that's what they want to focus on. But what you're saying is 100% right. Some of the countries have started trying to do that, and then there's these cost of expiration. But the broker system is so strong that it has been and by the time one president is able to do something about it, their term is over or they're kicked out of office or they do something that's bad and then they get booted on, you know, and so then the next one come in and the whole thing just starts all over again. So,
one thing, too, you don't have enough Black Americans doing this. See, Blacks in America has got an advantage in situations like that. Hell, just that blue passport alone is like an AK-47 in some cases. But you got an embassy there that's working for you. And the fact that you're a United States citizen and Black, too, you got a heck of an advantage that is not being exploited. Now, you say your wife is from Liberia. Are you from Liberia?
My late wife is from Liberia.
Are you familiar with the River G there in Liberia?
Yeah, River G County, yeah.
Right. We had access to, get this, we had access to a guy in Florida by the name of Samson. I'm just saying this to let people know about these opportunities.
Okay.
They had 750 square miles available for you to do timber, agriculture, fresh water, and also minerals.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
And 750 square miles. That's like, and I'm down here right now in Baton Rouge, by the way. That's like going from New Orleans clean up to damn near to Detroit.
Yeah.
So, you know, what you're doing is good. It can be lonely, but
it is lonely.
It's good. I don't do it anymore. I gave this stuff to some friends. I do other things, but
okay.
I'm on Facebook holding some crystal quartz with you know, you got gold nuggets in them, and we have some.
Well, you should find me on social media so we can at least have some old conversation. I love to pick your brain. I know, that's a great idea.
You still in Louisiana?
That's a great idea.
I'm not in Louisiana now. I'm in South America now, but we got social media so we can communicate.
All right, well, my name,
why don't you do that?
Yeah, I'll look for you. My name is Pianki Bancoli, P-I-A-N-K-I Bancoli, and I'm on Facebook too. And of course, you can hear the name. You can tell what part of my family is. But no, what you're doing is a good thing, and
I appreciate it, man.
You just got to go ahead and do it.
I appreciate it. I got a good team too, so good, strong people.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate you. Okay, we're going to, this question may have been answered, not certain, and I want to remind you all to tap one on your phone and we will open your line. Okay, so this question is, if you buy land with millions worth of gold on it, what would be the steps needed to extract the gold? And after it is extracted, can you then sell it as cryptocurrency? And with those brokers you were mentioning needed, if there is just one owner of the gold and land? That's part one of the question. Also, gold is up to over 1,000 per ounce and continues to go up. What makes the price go up? Because in the 1800s, gold was like $20 an ounce.
Okay, so Dr. Lee, you may have to remind me about that second part of the question. So let me answer the first part of the question. It depends on what country you're in that you own the rights to the mineral. If you're in the United States, if you own the land, you own the mineral. And you own the mineral all the way down to the core of the earth. So anybody in the U.S. that owns land, you own a small little spot on the core because it goes down in like the shape of a slice of pizza. The land on top is bigger, and as it goes down, it gets smaller, more like a cone shape. So that's normally how that works. Okay. If you are in normally on the continent of Africa or in South America, you can own. There are ways you can own the land in some of these. And remember, I'm generalizing. I'm combining 54 nations in Africa as one, and all the nations in South America. I'm mentioning continents, not countries. But you can own the land under certain conditions, but under most conditions, you will only have what is considered as mineral rights or concession rights. And that's only the rights to extract those minerals off those lands. And the chiefs and then some African nations and even in some South American nations is broken up into two categories, like I said earlier. It's broken up into a traditional system which deals with the chiefs and elders and that the queen mothers and those that group. And then it also, which owns 2 centimeters above the land, above ground, and then anything 2 centimeters below ground belongs to the central government, which makes it belongs to the people. So you can't own it outright. But you can have a concession for 50 years or 100 years or however long you sign your concession rights for. And then those concession rights depend on the size and all that. If you're a foreigner, like I am in most of these countries, I cannot own outright any small scale mine, which is normally 50 to 25 acres, sometimes as small as 3 acres. I have a concession now that's 149 square kilometers. You can set the city of Houston and Manhattan inside that concession. That's how big the lands can be. But that doesn't mean anything if the lands are not mineralized. What was the second part of that question, Dr. Lee?
Okay, also gold is up to over 1,000 per ounce and continues to go up. What makes the price go up? Because in the 1800s, it was like $20 an ounce.
Okay, so I'm going to add this in with that cryptocurrency part. Okay, so if you have gold on your property, why would you want to turn it into a cryptocurrency if you have gold? That's just a digital asset. Unless you want to do what the brokers are doing, you get to keep the gold, and then you're going to say you're going to back up the cryptocurrency, which means the people who actually own the cryptocurrency would never get the gold. You can do that. Or you have a hybrid. But with the hybrid, we create a set of rules that anybody who's going to do a hybrid has to go by a set of rules, which means that you can't behave like a broker. And once you get to see the hybrid rules, you're going to realize very quickly you probably don't want to do a hybrid if you don't want your users to actually own that gold. We want our users to own the gold. We want them to own it outright. So that's why we did it the way we did it. But you can do a cryptocurrency and make it work that way. The reason why the price of gold has increased is just the same way gallons of milk has increased. It depends on the area that you're in for some goods, but gold is the same all over the world. And the greedy brokers, when they come into the system, they can also make the price increase. If I'm selling gold, if I'm a broker, no, I can't even make myself a broker. So if John Q is a broker, sorry, that's how much I'm beginning to fight with the broker. If John Q is a broker and John Q sells that gold to you and John Q bought it from five other brokers through a process of five other brokers, then now the value of that gold at the current time, at the current market price, has been completely diluted because they've oversold what the price of the value is. The price will eventually go up as more gold enters the system and more brokers want to get more gold out of it. So the price will go up and go up. And here's another thing that makes the price of gold increase. Sale of iPhones, plasma TVs, now space travel is about to be involved with it. Everybody now needs that gold because they need it to make their, if I'm building a rocket ship, I need it to reduce the heat on the outside forces of my rocket ship. If I'm making jewelry because there's more people that's being wanting to get married, have birthday parties in India, they're going to require that they want more gold. And then the Indians want it a higher purity than in the Western world. The Indians want theirs at 22. There's only one place in India where you can get gold below 22 carats. That's a place called Tartakaran, and it's 18, and that's because of how poor the people are. They're allowed to buy it. And here's the thing. It can only be bought and sold in that area. It cannot leave that area and be sold anywhere else in the country. It's illegal because the more diluted it is, the less valuable it is. But if you're in the United States, yep, you can walk around with 10 on and be blinging, and more people need it, and that's how the price can also go up.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We've got a lot of questions, so we're going to try to make as many as possible.
Okay.
No problem. Okay, so error code 314-4600, or did I do that one already?
Yeah, you got me, but leave me open because maybe at the end I...
Okay, so let's see. Okay, 2-8-7-30, your line is open.
Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Houston, Texas.
How are you?
Okay, yes.
I didn't live everywhere, so I almost know all of them. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, my question is, since you have the gold and you want to be able to use it as currency, why not do what was done with the original dollar, where you have a one-for-one correspondence with something that you can't easily move around the globe to different countries or whatever, just back one for one by the same equal amount of gold. So it's basically like having a gold, a representation of the gold that you own based on how much of the representation you have, like dollar bills worth a dollar's worth of gold when they first started making dollar bills back in the original currency for this country. Of course, they adulterated that later on, but it was very stable for a very long time before they started getting funny with the fiat stuff. Why not take that approach to it?
Okay, it's a very good question, and I'm going to answer it like this. That's in our plan, but here's the thing. We want to be a part of country system and not try to go up against their system. So we plan, there's a lot of these things that come from way back when that we plan to do, but you know, when you first get started, we want a certain number of people on the hybrid first before we start doing a lot of these things. 800,000 exactly is what I want on the system before I start doing a lot of things that I know that we should do. Then there's a whole bunch of presidents around the world that I've talked to in Europe and in Africa that is willing to do that, what you just said right out the gate. But as I said to them, Mr. President, let's walk a little bit. We're going to start running, but let's walk a little bit. And but that has been conversated, so that's a very good question that you brought up. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, error code 816. Your last four digits are 1022, and then
come on in, Missouri.
Kenna will follow. Okay, Missouri.
Hello.
You're live.
Hi. Yeah. My name is Chris. I'm calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. I was my question for Dr. Youngblood is, you know, we're kind of looking at a lot of those deals where I think a few years back, and even right now, you have all these signs that says we will buy gold, we'll buy gold, and I guess that right there, and they were. I don't think they're paying people a lot of money to get their gold back. So my question to you, Dr. Youngblood, is, you know, is there some type of gold, I want to say shortage, but a gold buyback? Because you spoke just a minute ago about, you know, rocket ships. Obviously, you know, I think Elon Musk and somebody else went out of space. So I think the space race is starting, and I think that's, you know, definitely going to be something that will need a lot of gold, a lot of resources. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Okay. Well, you got a packed question there. Okay, so here's the thing. All right, so there's a couple of things. I'm going to start in reverse first. I've been in meetings where there are people that have raised, let's say I got one gentleman that I know has raised 3.2 at that time. I know it's probably more than that now. He raised $3.2 billion to travel into outer space. And he didn't know anything about traveling out of space, and he didn't know nothing about mining. And he wanted to go into space and mine. But he do know how to raise money. And the number one resource that most of these folks are after is either precious metal group or the rare earth element group. So there is a lot of people going. And here's what – right now you have Bezos, you have Musk, and you have Branson as the main contenders that's racing for space. But here's what a lot of people don't know. I've been in a lot of the conversations with a lot of people around the world. It's not just them that want to go into outer space. There's a lot of other people. You just don't hear about them. They money, some of these people money is just as thick as the three guys I just named off. They're just not out there in the public like that. But they are raising money, and they are putting together their own system to do it. And I've been advising on some of them about the mine, because when you get into outer space, you still got to do the mining. You still have to do the process. You still have to do these things. So how do you bring this big rock back, load it down with a precious metal or rare earth element? And you know gold is already one of the heaviest elements in the world. So where if that stone is solid gold, how are you going to control that thing coming back? You basically bring an asteroid traveling at 15,000 miles an hour back into our system, and it can cause all kind of global destruction and so on and so forth. So all these things are going into the process. Or when you own that rock, what if you drilling and it break in half and one part go somewhere and half of your machine go one way and then the other half go another way? So all these things are talked about with that process. The first part, remind me what you said the first part was.
Just the whole gold buyback.
Oh, the buyback, yes. Okay, so what caused that global buyback was when we tried to work things out with the gold brokers, with the brokers and the gold and silver brokers, basically, they both basically told us to go sit down somewhere, little boys. That's basically what they told us. This is the big boys game. And so we as miners say, okay, well, let the little boys show you how little we are. And we stopped selling gold globally at reduced price. We started demanding higher prices, even if it was $5 more per ounce or 2 cents more per gram. We started demanding more. That's what's called the shortage. Everybody normally thinks that the shortage came from the large-scale miners going on strike and all these things. No. The large-scale miners, most of what they mine, don't even make it into the general public system because they've sold all their future rights in the first place. Instead of buying from a large-scale miner, you should just go and buy stock from one of the global banks like Standard Charter, Barclays, Citibank, because they own all the future rights of all these mining companies anyway. These mining companies sold out a long time ago, and that's one of the things that's also added to that whole scenario is you think that these miners are producing gold that's going into the general market, and it's not. They're going into private banks, private investors, and they're going to do things that they want to do with it.
So yeah.
That's normally what's called
okay.
that short, yeah.
That's a heavy deal. I thank you for that, man. And we spoke before, Dr. Youngblood, as well, man. But I thank you for that, and and I know you got to go. My last question: what's the infatuation with brothers and gold chains, man?
Okay, well, I can't blame brothers, but let me tell you why. The reason, okay, I'm gonna tell you why I can't blame nobody for loving gold. Here's why I can't blame nobody for loving gold. Without 3 minutes of air, you got problems.
Yeah.
All right. Without 10 days of water, you got problems. Without 22 days of food, you got problems. Without gold on this planet, we got problems. So you can't blame people for wanting to be right next to that much of a powerful substance.
Wow. That's heavy. Thank you. I appreciate
no problem.
It. Thanks
and
a
thank
lot,
you.
Man. And much continued success.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Cannon, floor is yours.
Uh-oh, I got to brace myself.
This has been an outstanding conversation. Really, it has in a whole lot of ways. Initially, I want to say just get some clarity. I mean, when we look at the fact, and you outlined from the beginning of the walkthrough of money and bartering in an outstanding way, when we look at the fact that we have the dollar bill, the cash dollar bill, and it's on its way out. And we look at the fact that it was backed by gold many, many years ago, but now the dollar bill is not backed by gold anymore. So now we're trying to figure out a better way to be able to have one currency that we can use all around the world. With coming up with cryptocurrency created from the blockchain, it looks like that's the way that we're going to go. And so, therefore, what you're saying is, with the dollar bill, the paper money will have no more significance because it's nothing but paper. But what you're saying is gold, even though we don't barter gold, we don't exchange gold, you're saying gold as a medium of exchange still holds its value all over the world. And even if we don't use gold as a medium of exchange, there's still millions and millions of reasons to use gold. So therefore, what you're saying is that you're setting up a system where the little man, where we can buy gold at a wholesale price directly from the miners. You have that system set up, if I understand you correctly. And then as you get more people buying gold directly from you, then you set up a hybrid cryptocurrency, and that hybrid cryptocurrency's value will be based on the metal, not based on just the fact that we want to make it valuable. You're saying that your cryptocurrency, which is going to be called the hybrid currency, that currency will be stronger than any other cryptocurrency because it will be backed basically again by gold. Not that gold is going to be used as a medium of exchange, but because of all of the other millions of reasons that gold will still be valued, and therefore your cryptocurrency backed by gold itself, the hybrid, will become a very, very, very popular cryptocurrency. Is that what I'm understanding?
Okay, so let me say that you understand it very well, but I'm only going to make some adjustments to the terminology.
Okay.
Okay, so the cryptos actually need the blockchain technology, and they actually do digital mining. A hybrid doesn't require that at all. So this is why we refer to it as a hybrid currency instead of a cryptocurrency. The because other thing
no
is
mining,
the
even with Ripple, there's no mining. But you're saying using the same
philosophy
of Bitcoin, where they were mining with Bitcoin, we're not actually mining gold.
Yes. Okay. So Ripple also doesn't have a physical asset, so that also keeps it in the crypto realm. Okay. So because it also is using the blockchain technology, with the hybrid, then the hybrid doesn't do any backing with the gold. The hybrid does what we refer to as, let me give you an example of what back means. This is why you got to be very careful with the language, everybody got to be careful with the language, the broker language. So let's say, Dr. Cannon, that you and I are somewhere and we hanging out, and somebody starts talking smack to you, and you say, "Young blood, we about to put some whooping on these people right here." And I said, "Dr. Cannon, I got your back. I got your back, Dr. Cannon."
I understand that. I understand that.
Okay. But then four brothers and so on stand up, or four other that's non-brothers stand up. Doesn't matter. Either way it go, they look like they about to put a whooping on me and you, and I get a little nervous, Dr. Cannon. I get a little nervous, and when you turn around, I'm not standing there. Now, I will tell you in real life that's never going to happen. But in this particular example, I'm not standing there.
Okay.
I'll have your back. That's what back means. Back means that the person who actually is doing that process doesn't have access, nor do they have any rights to that particular material. So anybody tell you that they're backing you with gold, that means you will never touch it, see it, feel it. It's only going to stay with the first reserve person that has it. It never goes over to anybody else. Even the banks won't have it. Okay? This is why we use the term affix. Once it's affixed to your account, once it's affixed inside with your technological asset, it belongs 100% outright to you. There's no backing. There's no nothing. If you say, "I want it sent to me," it's sent to you. This is why we designed it that way. And we're a little bit further ahead than that. The app right now is at the later stages of development. We've been working on this for a long time. We've done some beta testing with the app. We've done some social testing with the app. We've done some I forgot what it's called technically, but it's called. But we've done a lot of things with the app. The only reason why we're waiting for 800,000 people to come on board is because you need a solid community anytime you roll out any system. The reason why Bitcoin and the rest of them have struggled the way they have is because of how the system was rolled out. They rolled Bitcoin out like it was a product. If they wanted it to be a currency, they should have rolled it out like a currency, not like a product. A product, you buy low, sell high. You make it low, you manufacture it low and sell it to somebody at a higher price. That's how you treat a product. This is why everybody's coming in with the Bitcoin to do that. Everybody wants to buy low and sell high. With all the cryptos, they're doing that. And then everybody's trying to peddle it off to somebody else. That's the whole concept of it. I'm going to peddle it off to somebody else. I don't have any problem with that. I really don't. I still believe in the technology. The processes I don't too much agree with, but that's how it is. The other problem that Bitcoin and the rest of them had is they continue to set dates. They always set dates. On this date, it's going to be this. On that date, it's going to be this. Every date that came was a disappointment. It was going to be global on this date. It was going to be worth this amount on this date. You can't do that with a currency. A currency depends on its community. You need X number of people to not only to make it strong, you need X number of people to make it negotiable. To go and talk with companies like Walmart and some of these other people, you need to be able to go in and say, "Hey, I got 800,000 people on this system, and when they come into your store and they swipe their card or they tap their phone on your screen and they buy a gallon of milk, not only do a fraction of a little bit of gold come off of their account, but also a value of a technological asset comes off of their account into your account." Walmart being one of the largest sellers of gold in the world, a lot of people don't know that. Walmart sells a lot of gold in those little country kiosks. That was a very good sound to Walmart ears when we had that conversation way back when I spoke with some of their people. It is a very important thing to understand that the hybrid needs to be established as a hybrid, because a cryptocurrency, it's almost like a As a matter of fact, in stage five of the app or the hybrid, because we're building out the hybrid. Stage one is the 800,000. The stage five in the hybrid currency app, we will accept cryptocurrencies. We will take a cryptocurrency and convert it into a hybrid. That's being worked out right now as you and I are on this call. My tech people working on it. It is a very important thing to also understand that as the process goes forward, we just think by the number of people that come onto the system, not a date. Because if you do it by date, you're going to always be the disappointment. If you need 20,000 people to do something and 20,000 people don't show up, now it's considered a non-success. But if you need 20,000 people to do it and 20,000 show up, now you have the number that you need to work for. You'll have to always be pushing date, pushing date, pushing date. If I was a crypto, if I was any new crypto, that's what I would do. I would never go by date because Bitcoin was 17 times. It was relaunched, you know. And then I'm just picking on Bitcoin because everybody knows Bitcoin. But don't forget about the 13,000 other ones that also exist too. And then you're not 100% sure. How can I say that? You're not 100% sure it's going to be the one that make it because it has a limited value set on it. Some of these other ones have bigger value set on it. You know, what happens if the community doesn't like it or technology or, you know, something simple can turn people off, like what happened in Las Vegas a few years ago when electricity went off and they had that Bitcoin conference. And people who promised to only use Bitcoin at the conference couldn't even buy a bottle of water. So you got a lot of things I think that can play a role in there. But I'm the way you explained it, I know you understand the hybrid. So I'm sitting here, I'm smiling because I know you understand it. Everything starts with the mining, the physical mining. Everything with a hybrid, every single thing with a hybrid starts with a physical asset. Something you can touch, something you can feel, something that's being used around the world on a daily basis, something that no matter what happens with the technological side, no matter what happens with any of the technologies, NFTs, artificial, no matter what happens, that person still holds a value with a physical asset. And here's another beautiful thing about a hybrid. Your hybrid is a true hybrid. You don't have to charge the people that's inside the hybrid anything for the technological asset, whether it's blockchain or not, because number one, there's no digital mining, there's no sign-up fees, no none of that with the technological part of it, none of it. If your technological asset rises to $50,000 for an NFT that everybody has in their account, or some form of the digital code that exists with the quantum artificial intelligence or the blockchain, that's yours. Because the technological asset is taking a ride on the physical asset. How they're trying to do it now is, since all these guys that are doing digital mining with crypto, since they can't go in the bush and actually take gold out the ground, since they can't go get silver and go get cobalt and go get lithium, and the large-scale miners are not concerned about any of that, and the banks are all tied up with the large-scale miners, I will just make it up, and I will just copy the name. I'll say, I'm doing mining. Just imagine everywhere I go, Dr. Cannon, people ask what I do for a living. I say mining. They say, oh, yeah, I do Bitcoin mining too. I say, no, you know, 300 meters inside of a tunnel, 600 million tons of earth sitting above my head, 25 pounds of dynamite, that kind of mining. Oh, you talking about real mining. I said, yeah, real mining.
Real mining. This has been awesome.
But yeah, Doc, you understand it well. No, I just want to understand it well. I just want to give him the language of the hybrid.
Okay, that's great. Looks like he's had some technical difficulties, and sometimes that happens here for some reason. But this has been awesome. This has been great. It's been he is back. We're going to we're down to our last few moments, and we're going to ask Dr. Cannon if you want to go ahead and wrap it up, and then we'll Dr. Youngblood voice or comments will be after you and his summary for tonight. And I want to say I do appreciate all of our listening audiences. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of your questions, but we did our best. Want to give you a phone number. You can text out additional questions, or if you want some more information, 1-998-1964, as well as Dr. Youngblood will provide his contact information as well. So I do appreciate you all so very much. Dr. Cannon, if you will give your final thoughts and comments, and then Dr. Youngblood.
Yeah, listen, this is outstanding. When we start thinking about investing, this is the time to really think about it, y'all. That's the reason shows like this is valuable, where you can save your pennies, your nickels, and put your money somewhere that's going to work for you. We need to learn about that in this hour. Cryptocurrency is definitely something we need to take a look at. We need to research, and I would say we even need to invest some money in. I think it would be wise. I think, you know, as again, you know, there's many entrepreneurial endeavors and things that we can do to raise money so that you can invest in great opportunities. You know, if we would have invested in Amazon and Facebook and some of those other stocks and bonds, a lot of us would, our money would be working for us a whole lot wiser. But a lot of us took our money and put it in bling bling and things that were going to depreciate instead of appreciating, you know. So I think it's time for us, Dr. Lee, just to continue to be wise with our money, ladies and gentlemen. Research where you put your money, but you have to do something. We don't want to just put it in the bank. We don't want to put it under our pillow. We want to be wise stewards. You know, sometimes it might be wise to take an extra job so that you can have extra money so that you can invest your money. Some people say, well, I don't have money to invest. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that you can do to create money, because if you be wise with it, it's going to put money back into your pocket. And so we want to thank our guests tonight. You know, it sounds like it makes sense in a lot of ways. I'm definitely going to do my homework and research from here so that I can get involved in, well, anytime that we can buy gold at a reduced price, if that's what you want to buy, I think that makes sense. And we want to start taking a look at cryptocurrency following the blockchain. I think that makes sense as well. Dr. Lee, I appreciate you for the show tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you and our co-hosts in their absences. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You can sum it up.
Okay. Let me state that I already know we're going to all be, the three of us will be talking again. I very much appreciate this opportunity. It's not that often that the miners come to the forefront or is allowed to come to the forefront. I know I'm a little bit different of a miner, so I really appreciate that. I know my staff is streaming at me right now saying, say the website. Okay, so... Youngbloodindustries.com. That's the only website that we have, youngbloodindustry.com, youngbloodindustries.com. And the reason why that's the only web, there's no .org, no .big, because there's a lot of people who say they buy gold from us to make people feel comfortable, like, oh, we getting our gold from Dr. Youngblood. No, they're not. They're not getting anything from us. Everybody's been cut off, y'all. So everything is going to come through the hybrid. Everything's going to come through the hybrid. And if I had to say anything I want y'all to remember, other than youngbloodindustries.com, is that the small-scale miners, the small-scale farmers, the community that you live in, if you can only imagine what 100 miners producing X number of grams of gold per day per hour. Remember, the miners produce on average 7.128 billion United States dollars every 24-hour cycle, and nobody is paying attention to what we are doing because they've been getting the gold any kind of way they want. But I'm telling you, as only a country boy from Louisiana can say, that dog won't hunt no more. We done with that. I want you to be closer to us. I want you to get to know us. I want you to understand us. We want the same things you want. We want good living. We want a good life, just like you want good living, good life. And you won't be buying the gold from us. You'll be with us. The whole hybrid is the miners and what we call the original hybrid. That first 800,000 is called the original hybrid currency owners. You are with us. We're in it together, the miners and the hybrid currency owners. And the rest of the world will come on little bit by little bit, 10,000 people here, 100,000 people there. That's how it will come on. But the original hybrid currency owners, the people that I'm talking to right now, you will be special on the hybrid. You will be treated special on the hybrid, and your accounts will be treated special on the hybrid. That's all I'm going to say for that. Youngbloodindustries.com, Dr. Cannon, Dr. Lee, y'all have no idea how appreciative I am and my staff and the miners are. And all the miners that's out there listening, they will not forget Dr. Lee and Dr. Cannon. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're so very welcome. And we certainly won't forget you, because we will be talking again, and you and I very soon. I want to thank our audiences and wherever you joined us at tonight. We do understand and know that there are thousands of you out there. We do appreciate you listening in. We love you. We want you to stay safe. And we're on board. Just let you know, we are on board. We don't know exactly how. This is all new to me. But I'm always good for a great challenge and for helping our own people, period. Whatever I can do, we will do it. I want to say stay safe. I love you. This is Dr. Mary Lee. Until next week, same time, same station. God bless you. Good night.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement.
Came from the bottom, ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slang. Now we locked up a game. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your war. But you don't ever show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I'm willing to get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up.
Gang units for worst case scenario. Might work, still a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the rodent's still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, racing dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland security, now there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging. Still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early.
America,
is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb instead of have your back, have you beat and lost your mind? Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got porn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiend, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost the dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug heritage.
Why you wanna treat me so cold? cold, America. I done gave you all that I own, America. Took me from my mama so young, America. Locked me up and gave me your name.
America, 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 you know the black freedom movement, constitution, moral conscience, you know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation, even as that nation been trying to render us soulless, to wear our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the blood-stained banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before, we shall never forget them at all.